Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Merciful Lord, has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning with the 18th verse. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
In the name of our Lord, God in flesh made manifest. The reading which we heard this evening is commonly referred to as the Great Commission, the words which Jesus spoke to define the mission of his church in this world. These words were spoken by Jesus after his resurrection from the grave when he met with his disciples in Galilee before he ascended into heaven. Let us first of all pay careful attention to the claim he makes. He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." I think that if it were not for the fact that these words are so familiar, they would have a jarring effect on us, and they really should. In them we find a most astonishing claim. The man Jesus of Nazareth spoke these words, but the claim he was making, well, to say that it was amazing hardly does justice to the situation. What does it mean to have all authority in heaven and on earth? There is only one being who possesses all the authority and power that there is in heaven and earth, and that being is God. The words define God. That being who has all authority is God. And yet the words are in the mouth of a man. And here we are face to face with the miracle of all miracles, the coming in human flesh of the Son of God. In order to understand how it could be so that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, can say these words, we need to go back to the opening words of John's Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And this Word became flesh and lived among men. And in that Word made flesh, those who saw him beheld the glory of God, the glory which he possessed as the only begotten Son of God from all eternity. He was with God from eternity, because from eternity he was God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father. And by him all things were made. The creative power of God was exercised in and through him. He is the one who speaks to us from the pages of the book of Proverbs in chapter 8, where he says, 'The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew the circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his commandment, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was his daily delight. In the miracle of the incarnation, this one who was with God from eternity came to be with us. The prophet Isaiah named him our Emmanuel, God with us. In the truest sense of the word, he is God with us, because he became one with us in his humanity, which was like ours in every way, except that he was without sin. Since we, the fallen creatures, partake of flesh and blood, he also shared in that same flesh and blood, so that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The enormity of our fallen condition is seen also in this great truth. This is what it took to deliver us from our condition. The Son of God took our flesh and blood so that the power of God could be brought to bear on our human situation. This is the grace and power of God in action for our redemption, because there was no other way that it could be brought about. God in human flesh won our salvation for us. And he also provided for giving that salvation to us with that same power and authority by which he won our salvation, by which he routed the devil and his kingdom of death. He also established the sacred means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament, the preaching, teaching, and baptizing, which we carry on in his name, is done with his authority. The gospel is the power of God for our salvation, because the one who established it has the authority of God. When we teach these truths to people, when we say to our fellow human beings, you need redemption from your fallen condition because you are helpless by yourself, but you have a Savior who has won your salvation for you, gives it to you in the gospel message of the forgiveness of all your sins, and enables you to believe that. When we teach these things, we do so not by the authority of any man, but by the authority of God himself. Divine power is active in and through these things. The one who has all authority in heaven and earth gives to you the right to become children of God and his disciples. He gave you that right when you were baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He gives it to you whenever you hear the gracious declaration of the forgiveness of all your sins. He gives it to you when you partake of his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. In this Epiphany season, we celebrate the great truth that God was manifest in human flesh in the person of this Jesus of Nazareth, and that his purpose was to bring salvation to all people. The incarnation of the Son of God occurred in that continuity of the history of the ancient people of Israel. Jesus was, as Matthew shows us at the very beginning of his gospel, the son of Abraham and the son of David. But the promise was always that this seed of Abraham and seed of David should bring blessing to all the nations of the earth. And so we are privileged to gather in this place and at this time and be assured that we too have the right to be called the children of God. We too are the recipients of the promise that he is with us to give us the blessing of salvation even to the end of the age. These things are so, not by the authority of any man, but by the authority of God. And in his authority, you are blessed. Amen.